Como Island, 1694. The barest ripple disturbed the mirror surface of dark water. Reeds along the shore swayed, languid and serene. A fish eagle called, high and wild, and was answered by its mate. The sultry air was heavy and redolent with anticipation. Tiny wavelets ran silently onto the sandy beach and slid, with no energy, back again, leaving a watermark no more than the length of a man's little finger on the absolute whiteness of the unblemished sand. Rocks separated the beach from the small cove, smooth, round boulders of a sandstone colour, their external features revealing evidence that once, when the lake was higher, they had been submerged. In the gathering gloom of approaching night, the deep water of the cove appeared silky black, cut by ribbons of silver as unseen currents flowed below the surface. Diogo Pegado was not a coward. At 38, he had fought many battles. He regularly travelled the largely unexplored African hinterland where most men feared to tread. He navigated Africa's wild and unpredictable coastline. He had seen men die of disease, of snake bite, and of their injuries in battle. Aware that his own fate was as insubstantial, as unpredictable as that of others, he nonetheless perceived life to be a set of challenges, there to be conquered, with no place for regret and recrimination. Such was life. Diogo Pegado had no time for cowards and milksops. He believed men brought their own sufferings onto themselves. He was immune to suffering. But what Diogo Pegado was about to witness in the deepening velvet night brought him out in a sweat of dread that prickled in his armpits and threatened his legs with collapse. King Lundu was an immense man of indeterminate age. He bore his status with a precise, almost pedantic dignity, which his subjects knew tolerated no disobedience. Rolls of fat under his chin, along arms and legs, and around his waist, gave his almost hairless body authority and presence. His subjects took his size to mean enormous strength of limbs and heart. He ruled his small kingdom in the manner of all kings of the day, with fear, obedience, and blind worship being prerequisites for staying alive. At a signal from the king, torches were lit, throwing their flickering light onto the inky water of the cove, and made shadows of the gathered people of King Lundu dancing on the rocks like disembodied stick figures. The big bonfire at the burning place up on the hill was also set alight, flaring immediately, sending flames into the air which could be seen from the mainland. Diogo Pegado shivered in spite of the warmth of the evening. Death could surely not be more horrible than what was about to take place. Ngoona saw the flames. At 3 meters beneath the surface, he flicked his tail and glided in a circle. His small reptilian brain made the connection. Food. He waited. At the first splash, he would propel himself upwards, taking the body around the waist as a bird would grasp a fish in its beak, and rolling backwards in a spiral, spin down to the bottom, where he would hold the victim until it stopped its ineffectual attempts to escape, until the last bubble of oxygen floated in an effervescent string upwards, and death stilled the flailing limbs. Then, and only then, would he glide effortlessly to the place he took all his food, and stash the body for several days, until the flesh began to rot, and the putrid smell of it would tell Ngoona that the food was ready to tear and grind. Diogo Pegado glanced across at the intended sacrifice. A proud young man in the prime of life, muscles bulged under very black skin, and in the bonfire's red glow, the sheen of nerves glistened, accentuating the man's strong body. He stood erect, head held high. His fate was sealed, and there was nothing he could do but die with dignity. Diogo saw the slight tremor in his limbs and wondered what was going through the man's head right at this minute. Would he jump, or would he need to be thrown? To die a coward in these people's eyes meant he would remain an unhappy spirit for eternity. What kind of courage was required to throw oneself from the high boulder where he stood into those dark and dangerous waters? Despite his dispassionate regard for other men's lives, Diogo could not help but reflect that this man's death would be a waste of a good, strong warrior. Sweat ran down the Portuguese man's face, but he dared not wipe it away.